Good evening, everybody. This is March 17th, Monday. It is officially 10:10 New York time, or Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism. We thank everybody for who's listening and for participating on this call tonight. And our first item, I guess, will be to go have a roll call. Now, Abiyosh is our secretary, and he is not on this call tonight. Do we have any volunteers to kind of take some rough draft minutes? Hello? I know you got to do some bubbling. I know, you know, just don't everybody jump at once. Okay, well, how about we sort of do this, because this is live and on the stream, and we don't have a whole lot on the agenda tonight. Maybe we can just each of us sort of take some, you know, rough draft notes here.
Okay.
Anybody else want to volunteer one more time? And also, I just want to say the reason that we're starting this call at 10 o'clock is because there are people who are on this call who also participated in the Personnel Committee, so they're coming off of a call that was about 2 hours, and they're participating in this one, so I want to thank them as well for that. I know it's not easy. Okay, so I'll start with the roll call. Evelyn Bethune?
Present.
Joe Wanzawa?
Present. As I've noted, I'll have to leave in about 20 minutes.
Okay. A.C. Bird?
Here.
Lisa Davis? That's me. I'm present. And I know that our secretary, Yosh, said that he would not be able to make this call tonight. So on tonight's agenda, and the reason why it was so important that we have this call is because we have an in-person PMB meeting, and it had been decided with the past, during last year and previously on the board that we needed to have ongoing anti-racism and sexism training. And on the outgoing board last year, we decided that we initially wanted to have training in January, but it was recommended and agreed upon that it would probably be better to have the training at the March in-person meeting, which will be in Houston, April 11th through the 13th. I believe I'm correct with that?
Yes.
And so one of the charges of this committee is to review various models of anti-racism training and to put a proposal forward. And I would like to just say, I don't know if some of you just coming on this call had a chance to see, but I have an executive session aspect to this. I think there might be some things we will get into that we should perhaps best discuss in executive session, and I think pricing and quotes, because we will be examining two very, very good trainers and training programs. And they, you know, have various pricing and quotes, and I think, you know, that it would be better to discuss that in those aspects of the training in executive session. So, I guess one of the things that we should do before we get into the meat of this discussion is to set the next meeting date. So let me just pull up the calendar briefly. Do Monday nights, for the most part, work for everybody on the call?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, generally, yes.
Yes.
Let me link to the Pacifica calendar. Let's see. So right now we're in March. Let's go to April. Oh, actually, we do have one. We have one scheduled for April 1st. April Fool's Day. But anyway, Racism and Sexism Committee meeting, so we do already have one scheduled for that time. We want to maybe look into May as well and go for, like, hold on, that one for April 1st, that's on Tuesday, April 1st, that everybody agreed to.
That's fine.
Okay. Do we want to just go on and get a date for May as well? You should at least do two dates in advance. So if we're doing one, so far it seems like we've been trying to hit for the first week of the month. So how about Monday, May 5th or Tuesday, May 6th? Do either of those dates look good, or do we have a preference?
Well, let me ask a question. We have how many people on the
Five.
Five, and three of us have already agreed on the first.
No, that's in April. We decided on that one anyway, April 1st. But I'm just trying to get a date for May as well, since we're here, to at least try to book us 2 months in advance with the dates.
Do we wait until the next meeting to decide that?
Sure, no problem. Not a problem. I just remembered last year I kept forgetting to decide this while we were on the call, and it was, you know, much more difficult. Okay, so let me just get back to... Okay, I think the third thing that we have on the agenda, because in addition to talking about the two programs, I think it's important to come forward with a proposal that we recommend. I know the coordinated committee has already, they passed a motion saying that they would allow time for anti-racism training within the next PMB meeting. And I think that we should come forward with a proposal for like a day and the hours and stuff like that. I don't think that it's not very doubtful that with all that we have to talk about that we would have a full day of training, at least at this particular PMB meeting. So do we have any proposals that we would like to put forward? Or I'm saying that we should put forward a proposal, you know, for whatever day we think should be the best day and the time that should happen. Does anybody have any ideas?
Can I get on the stack?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, you know, Saturday is good because everybody's there. But it's also the time when we have most of public comment. So most of the public is also there. So I'm thinking Friday is probably going to be our best bet. And if we could do it, you know, Friday, maybe Friday after lunch, then most of us will probably be there.
All right. AC, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think let me defer to Evelyn since we'll be in her town.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking we need, based on the workshops we've been, they need at least 4 hours because of what we're asking them to do in a really small block of time.
Right. I was thinking along those lines as well, although I was thinking more like 5 hours to ask for the PNB.
Yes.
I think that's reasonable, and, you know, if not, maybe four, but definitely 4 hours, but I think we should ask for five.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. And before we've done, I'm trying to think, when we did them before, they were in the afternoon. Does anybody remember?
You mean the last one we had?
Yeah, in-person meetings. I think they were both in the afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can just make a proposal. Normally we have like lunch like 12 to 1 or something like that, so maybe we can say from 1 to, I can't even think right now, 5 hours would be...
Whoa, 5?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I assume that means that the question and answers and all that can be included in that.
Oh, yeah. So if we're talking 5 hours, we would be talking 1 to 6 roughly on Friday?
Yes.
Okay, that's kind of good because normally we open with public session at about 7 o'clock or 6:30 anyway, so that kind of fits right in with that. So,
why do we need 5 hours? I'm asking only because I know others are going to ask. I don't have no problem with it. I'm just asking.
Well, normally these workshops go for a day, all day, or 2 days. Our workshop was 2 days, and we were still pushing it just to try to cover... the material. So they're going to have to structure something that will fit within the time constraints that we're giving them. Because normally they ask you for 2 full days. Both groups really want time because the issues that you're dealing with are very sensitive issues, and it takes time for people to really open up and and deal with some of the issues that come to the table. And if you're only there for a couple of hours, nothing's going to happen. Pretty much. You'll just start to skim the surface when it's time for it to be over. And that's a waste of time for everybody. If we're going to do it, then we have to commit the time to at least try to get some benefit from it.
Okay.
Exactly. And we know these issues are so deep and, you know.
Are there a way in which, do we have to do an alternative date as well? We talked about Friday. If we might want to, for insurance purposes, do an alternate date.
Well, I think that Saturday might be the only other, because on Sunday everybody's trying to go.
Go home, yeah.
Right, and then we're rushed to try to finish the items that are on the agenda, plus the stuff that got pushed from one day to the next.
Okay.
And so Sunday is just really bad. So I would think Saturday would be our only other alternative, because you're not going to let us come in a day early.
Right, and I kind of...
And the same time on Saturday?
Well, actually, if we did it Saturday, Saturday morning might work better.
Oh.
And that way people wouldn't come and then have to wait while we have, you know, an executive session.
Okay.
I would agree with that, but for reasons that Evelyn had mentioned earlier, I think Friday is the best date because...
we can go for Friday.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know it's just...
In case they want an alternative.
Right. But primarily because of, you know, public session, they hate when we have closed sessions, you know, and they're around. So, you know, that's the primary reason for doing it on Friday. Bye.
Okay, fine. I mean, I have no problem.
Okay. So, So basically we are proposing Friday from 1 to 6, and if as a possible alternative date, if we are forced to consider an alternative date, it would be Saturday. And that would probably be from in the morning. Do we want to say from 9 until, if we're talking about
Saturday. 2?
Yeah, we'll say 9 to 2 if we have to as a...
We'd have a, what would it have, on-site lunch?
Yes.
I would say so, yeah.
Believe, okay.
Just going to parentheses, on-site lunch.
Now, the question, the other question I had, do we need a theme or a purpose for this? In terms of...
Well, what we did at KPFT... we did have a theme.
Okay.
And we came up with a theme because we intend to do ongoing dialogue and on different issues, sexism, racism. We decided to do just 2 this year and then 2 in the beginning of next year. So we're dealing with racism, the first and third quarter, and then sexism, second and fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a theme around bringing everything full circle. We used the song We Are Family by Sly and the Family Stone. I'm sorry, Sister Sledge. And because we really tried to have, like, a positive twist to it so people didn't dread doing it.
Right,
and kind of make it, you know, encouraging in terms of, you know, this is a way for us to really get to understand each other better.
Right, okay.
And I'm pulling up the, hang on just a second. I'm pulling up what the theme that we put together, how we kind of worked it into the ongoing concept of, you know, dealing with the various isms that have us out of joint. Just a second. I may have sent this to you in one of those emails. Trying to get to last year because it was. Climate control.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Climate control.
Be right back.
Because one of the things we talk about at KPFT all the time
mm-hmm.
is how unwelcoming the atmosphere and climate is within the station
mm-hmm.
for people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And we said climate control because what we wanted to do was be able to change the energy
mm-hmm.
and change the way that we live within that energy.
Because
mm-hmm. Most of the time it's just very dark and foreboding.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because people of color don't feel welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole concept of climate control is to deal with these issues in a way that changes the climate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thought behind that.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you, once you came up with the theme, the trainers worked around your theme, was that how that worked or?
No. We talked about the theme and they did actually talk about a little bit about changing the environment and the climate
mm-hmm.
and the visualization also. Like if you walk into an area and there's like it's very drab, there's no imagery that's diverse. Like when I look at KPFT's website,
mm-hmm.
it's a very white website.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're having discussion about it now as to how to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Because on any given day, if you look at that website, you may not even know that there are people of color at that station. And that's a problem.
It is.
So that's a part of the environment that we work in. And part of making people feel welcome is to also have images that are representative.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about actually putting a tree up with the different branches and the different groups of people who work within, like with the Pacifica being the root of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And KPFT is like the trunk, and mm-hmm. then all these different branches with all the different nationalities and preferences and all of that, making up the various branches, separate yet together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that really keep in the forefront of your mind that we're all here and we all are a part of this. And so those are the kinds of things that we're actively trying to do, to not
mm-hmm.
just, because part of changing the perception is to basically bombard you with the fact that we are going to change this.
Mm-hmm.
So those of you who don't want to change, you need to either get on board or get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're going to always have some that don't want to change, don't think mm-hmm. they ought to. And if you don't talk about it or address it, then it makes it acceptable for them to behave that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make it clear that this is the direction we're going in, hopefully you'll come along. But if not, we're not going to make it comfortable for you to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens right now. Right now it's okay to be a redneck, to be a racist, all of that.
Right. Well, the reason I asked that question, I got a sort of drew some ideas from a conference that labor people hold in some time back. And also, there's something they had that sort of struck me. And that was a theme of celebrating diversity.
Uh-huh.
They had building unity in their organization, but I have celebrating diversity, building unity in Pacifica. Celebrating the diversity we have, and building unity in Pacifica. But the two words would be celebrating diversity and building unity in Pacifica. Wondered if we could do that and sort of respect the fact that we need to be celebrating the diversity that we have, which reflects the U.S., really, population at least. Building unity will help sort of overcome the problems that we see. You know, it's a way of building unity in the organization. What do you think?
I think that's good. Because that's all a part of it.
Yeah.
Because part of building unity means that I have to give you respect.
Right.
And I also have to accept and try to open up and learn some of the things that I may be doing that are disrespectful, that I don't maybe am not conscious of, or maybe am conscious of, but believe it's acceptable behavior.
Right. Yeah, I thought that's one of the things that they had, too. They were telling me they really wanted to celebrate the diversity, that often people don't think of this as being a blessing, of having, you know, a multicultural society is a blessing rather than, you know, looking at it as something to be feared, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think part of what came out in the workshop that we had was some people's inability to recognize their own racist behavior.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And, you know, where we may all say we celebrate diversity, some of the worst rednecks, some of the worst racists are liberals.
Right.
Who have a paternalistic attitude
and think that
they have to guide your every step because you're, you know, not smart enough or whatever to get it done on your own.
That's imposing supremacy.
Right. And that was some of the things that were dealt with. And it was very interesting also to listen to our Hispanic and Latina input in terms of diversity just within that circle, and how it all gets lumped into one ball, you know, and how offensive that is. And yet, you know, people are not aware or don't want to be aware. And, you know, they've been doing that with us forever, that all black people are monolithic. We all think and talk and walk alike.
Exactly.
And you have to make people recognize that even if they think they have a difficulty, if they're Caucasian, it still gives them a step above everybody else.
Of course.
Even if they're sleeping under the bridge.
It's interesting as I'm listening to the conversation and the exchanges, because I'm also reminded that, you know, we're from different regions, and it manifests itself, although the underlying cause is the same almost no matter where you go, but the manifestations of it, it presents itself in somewhat different ways. Like, for example, the fact that New York, there is so much diversity in New York. There is that, you know. And I've seen times where I will see people come to, you know, one area where there's diversity, and they know how to talk. They'll say those things, and it sounds so good. And then I see how behavior is when you sort of are behind closed doors, like in an environment such as that WBAI. And I find myself, I'm saying to people, you know, what sounds good. That's how it sounds, but you don't know. You have to really know when people are not around and you go behind closed doors sometimes, or you see some of the votes or some of the things, you know, that does not match what they say in that one group setting when they're around a whole lot of people, you know.
That happens all over the country. I see it right here in Houston all the time.
Well, it's like one thing
in your face, and they do something different, and they also are accepting a behavior that is totally unacceptable, or figure out a way to find an excuse for it.
But here, and definitely, you know, WBA, there's a lot of diversity, but the issue is, I think, about a power construct.
Right.
Diversity, as long as you're like this,
right,
so to speak.
Or know your place.
Right, and that's the thing that is so... For lack of a better word, and I'll describe this about New York in general, you know, I never thought I would have encountered the racism growing up, you know, because you always think, well, the melting pot in New York being the melting pot of the world and all that stuff, and the Statue of Liberty and people coming from all over the world to that city, and yet I went to school in Texas, and college campus is probably not the best way to really judge what's going on in a community. But still, I went to school in Texas and did not compare to what I faced up north. But anyway, so, you know, it's just interesting. But
cover a lot of that.
For me, racism is racism. It's bad no matter where you find it or how you have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they're dragging you behind the bus or a truck, it's the same thing. And we have to figure out how within this organization to make people recognize, first of all, that it does exist, and it's holding us back, and we can either act like it's not there and continue to have to, you know, be stagnated because of it, or we can decide that it's not acceptable and actively do something to change it.
No doubt. I think, too, that this is the one way. It's also what we're proposing to do is also consistent with the mission of Pacifica. And also, if we're going to, which we claim to be doing, if we're going to be enlightening or educating them, then we got to do that ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
So we can prepare ourselves to just that.
This is absolutely true.
Yeah, we got to prepare ourselves. I think this level of education does a lot of good in dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
People are honest about it. You know, it's going to be a struggle no matter how we look at it, but we need to do it. And,
well, I think this committee has been really on top of things in terms of trying to move that and make that happen, because we persisted in spite of sometimes. And that's the only way that it's going to get different.
That's true. Really have to do it. And I think of, you know, I don't mean to take up time, but I think of all those during the civil rights era. We had all those training sessions and retreats and everything else, because even our own people had to really come to grips with it, understanding what the mission was.
Right.
And a lot of them resisted it, but, you know, there was a persistence of some people to go on with it, and I think we were successful as a result of that. We still got a long ways to go in certain areas, but there were things accomplished. And at least the people who were sort of propelling the movement had a good understanding of it. There was always those who went astray, but nevertheless, overall, I made it.
I just want to, Joe, are you on the call? I know you said you had to leave. Are you with us, Joe?
Joe Wanzale?
Yeah. Okay, I guess you said, I know he said he had to leave. I didn't hear him, so I just wanted to know if he was still with us. Okay, what I'm going to sort of propose, because I'm looking at the hour, 10:40, and, you know, I think that's a good idea. I guess we just have to flesh out more in terms of, if we say the same as celebrating diversity and building unity in Pacifica, I mean, just how do we show that? Just how do we build that theme, in other words? So
you have to have some consultation with the people who do the presentation. So they can weave it in. Yeah.
Well,
did we decide on that?
I guess that's what we were going to go to executive session to talk about.
Well, I guess we can have some discussion about it, you know, to just let people know the groups we are considering. But, you know, when we get into the topic of cost analysis and stuff like that, I think that should be an executive session. But I know the two organizations that we are considering is the Center for the Healing of Racism. Are they based in Houston, Evelyn?
Yes.
Okay, they are based in Houston, Texas, and the People's Institute, which I believe their headquarters are in New Orleans. They have several offices throughout the country, including in Houston. So that's a positive thing right there. They also have an office in New York, and from what I can gather, they both seem to be very, you know, good organizations. So does anybody have anything they would like to also, you know, add to this part of it about the discussion of the two?
Well, I don't know about the one in Houston, so maybe Evelyn could tell us.
Well, they conducted our workshop for KPFT, and we had, between the 2 days, about 35 to 40 people participate, and it started out the first night. We started Friday night, and we did an all day Saturday. On Friday night, we just sort of I call it healing racism light, because what we did, we got to know each other, and. Because when you're getting ready to really get into some really uncomfortable places, you need to have some kind of relationship. Because people also have to feel that there is, first of all, confidentiality, and that there's also the ability to speak without judgment. Because you have to be able to allow people, even if you don't like what they're saying, you have to be able to allow them to say it, because that's how you get at it. And so that Friday, we just kind of, we broke bread, and then we talked about who we are in within KPFT, and the facilitators. There were two facilitators, two women, one black, one white. And the dialogue initially was to kind of let us know each other, because even though you are at the station, you don't really see everybody, because people come and go at different times. So we kind of, you know, did an introduction and kind of got to know who everybody was and what their fit was, and some, you know, some personal things about their life. And then Saturday, we really got into the nitty-gritty of dealing with racism and the effect of racism on people's lives, both the giver and the receiver. We watched a couple of videos that had to do with the discussion of racism and its effects. We got to see a couple of studies that were done, and then the discussion opened up the platform for being able to relate it to personal experiences within Pacifica. And it was really very interesting to see the dynamics and how it played out. And I really think that people got more than they expected, because everybody, with very little exception, said that they felt they experienced something they hadn't anticipated. They found out some things about themselves that they really maybe weren't aware of and weren't quite sure sometimes what to do about it. And part of what happened in the workshop was to get some tools in terms of how to deal with certain situations. Because one of the questions came up, well, you know, suppose you're in your circle and there are racist comments. Do you just, like, not say anything, or what do you do? And some people earnestly said they were very uncomfortable with, you know, calling somebody out, yet they knew that it was, you know, the wrong thing, and they weren't sure how to really approach it. And so we dealt with some of those issues, and then we dealt with the blatant in-your-face, you know, racist behavior. So it was really interesting, and I think that because we had staff and management as well as LSB members, it was an interesting mix because people were also there with the person they work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was really interesting in terms of that dynamic. But one of the things that we agreed to on the beginning was that what happened there would stay there. It could not be a thing of retaliation.
Right,
if something
right.
came up that you were not comfortable with or didn't like. And that it also had to be a place where you had to be honest about what you were feeling and what you were thinking. And so that was kind of laid out in the beginning. And you also were not allowed to interrupt people if they were speaking or if they were having difficulty dealing with something. You had to allow them to get it out. And you know how sometimes things are emotional. People start to cry. And the first thing you want to do is reach out. You couldn't do that. You had to allow them to say what they needed to say. Because sometimes in the reaching out, you stop the thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't allow people to get through that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody in the circle, by the way, we sat in a circle, which was meant that you were always facing each other so you could see everybody. Because, you know, sometimes people want to put you in theater style, but it really worked that everybody was in a circle. So I think it was very good, and I've seen some of the change, and I think there's room for more, but I've seen some forward progress in the work environment. So we'll see what the future brings.
Right. Also, I just want to say, since we are such a small group, and I know we are supposed to go forward with a proposal, but I would like to make a very friendly suggestion that if I'm not sure if we'll have like consensus on that, because both of these organizations seem to be very good, and for that reason, I think that I would like to propose that, you know, we because we're looking through these things, that we maybe present this on the whole to the full PNB, a larger group, definitely than the three of us on this call, to make the decision about which one. I mean, if people are comfortable with that.
Well, normally I would.
For me.
But I think that, I think they're expecting us to come up with this. Maybe we should outline, you know, what we think they can do, or what we think they have experience in doing, and then make a recommendation and turn it over to the board, see what they would decide.
I would want to
present them, and I would want to make the recommendation as well. I wouldn't want to leave it just to the larger body, since they're assigned to do just that.
And we may want to get something from each group to present,
right,
that we can send to the PND,
yeah,
for them to review prior to.
Yes.
And the reason that I put it like this is because, you know, we're a, like I said, a very small group. If, you know, two people might agree on this one, or one might, you know, agree on that. And I just think that for something like this, and especially when we have, you know, both organizations seem to be strong, that it would just be a little more democratic, for lack of a better word, you know.
I also want you to keep in mind, time is short. And
I understand.
I know with the Center for Healing Racism, they are very busy. So we need to make sure that the PNB makes a decision.
On Thursday, definitely, because no matter what, even if we come up with and say this one is just the best thing since Swiss cheese, we have to get the PNB to say yes. So we have to really push for this to happen on Thursday. And it doesn't have to take a whole, you know, lot. We can, you know, if it looks like if we don't have unanimous consensus in terms of, well, this is the one definitely that we want to put out, then, just a brief summary, I think, of both of them, and then take the vote, you know. It doesn't have to be, because no matter what, we have to get it final.
And I think we got to get costs locked down, because
yes,
that's going to play a big part in how the PNB makes a determination.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's true. There's always going to be the cost.
Definitely. And let me just, and this is also for the public assessment, let me just, I'm looking at the website for the Center for the Healing of Racism, and also I will pull up the one for the People's Institute. And let me just read, if I may, just a brief synopsis of their, you know, their presentation in terms of their, what they believe is very important. The Center for the Healing of Racism, their purpose and goals, they say the Center for the Healing of Racism recognizes and acknowledges the essential oneness of the human race. Its tenets are, one, that racism as a disease woven into the moral and spiritual fiber of American society obscures the possibility of establishing the reality of that oneness. Two, that racism violates the dignity of humankind, retards the unfoldment of the potentialities of its victims, corrupts its perpetrators, and blights human progress, that the patterns of thinking and behaving which constitute racism have been learned, that racism is marked by an imbalance in economic, political, and social power in favor of some racial, ethnic, and cultural groups at the expense of others, that an increase in awareness of the development and perpetuation of racism will lead to its elimination and the development of a just and peaceful world, and that the struggle against racism must, first and foremost, be waged in the heart. And just briefly, the center has established the following goals: to create for all people a safe environment in which to explore the issues of racism and its social, emotional, and spiritual repercussions, to recognize racism in its various manifestations, including the most blatant forms of bigotry to its most subtle, unaware, and sometimes passive forms, to examine attitudes, assumptions, feelings, and beliefs about people of color and their cultures, and to identify methods by which society has conditioned both whites and people of color with misinformation, to assist whites to discover how racism has affected their lives, to become sensitized to the experiences of people of color, to unlearn racist patterns, and to empower themselves to interrupt racist remarks and attitudes, to provide an accepting and supportive atmosphere for people of color to heal the hurts that they have suffered as a result of the oppression of racism, to make available educational opportunities for people of all ages to obtain accurate information about the history and rich heritage of people of color, and to build coalitions and associations with other groups and individuals who share a commitment to racial justice. Now, that's the Center for the Healing of Racism. Now, I just had this.
Okay. Are you reading that for the public?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And now let me just briefly, the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond. And, of course, this is their website. You know, it's just a brief synopsis, I'm sure.
You might want to give their website number, their website address.
Sure.
Because I know for me, like with you reading that, I heard it. But to process it, I'd have to look at it.
Of course. And thank you for that recommendation. The website is www.centerhealingracism.org. And, yeah, you go to that, www.centerhealingracism.org, and then you'll see links for the goals and all of that. Okay. And now let me find the People's Institute. And their website is www.pisab.org. And I'm right now reading from, let me go to its homepage a moment. And I'll read our approach. Okay. So the name of it is the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond, dedicated to training and organizing with intelligence and integrity, with values and vision. And basically, they say people are not poor because they lack programs and services. People are poor because they lack power. The People's Institute for Survival and Beyond believes that an effective, broad-based movement for social transformation must be rooted in the following anti-racist principles. One, undoing racism. I won't even read all of this, but just certain highlights of it. Racism is the single most critical barrier to building effective coalitions for social change. Racism has been consciously and systematically erected, and it can be undone only if people understand what it is and where it comes from. And then learning from history. History is a tool for effective organizing, and understanding the lessons of history frees us to create a more humane future. Sharing culture. Culture is the life support system of a community. If a community's culture is respected and nurtured, the community's power will grow. Developing leadership. Anti-racist leadership needs to be developed intentionally and systemically with the local communities. Maintaining accountability, networking, analyzing power. As a society, I'll just read a little bit about analyzing power. As a society, we often believe that individuals and or their communities are solely responsible for their conditions. Through the analysis of institutional power, we identify and unpack the systems external to the community that create the internal realities that many people experience daily. Gatekeeping, and those are people who work in institutions and often function as gatekeepers to ensure that the institution perpetuates itself. And then undoing internalized racial oppression. And they go on to say internalized racial oppression manifests itself in two forms, internalized racial inferiority and internalized racial superiority. And I just wanted to, just kind of read those two summaries, so to speak, of the various of the two organizations that we're looking at, to just kind of give you, I guess, their mapping, so to speak, for the direction in which they are going in with the programs. But again, please go to their website. Again, the People's Institute website is www.pisab.org, and the Center for Healing, I just left that page. Center for Healing, for the Healing of Racism, is www.centerhealingracism.org. I'm sorry, AC, you were going to say something?
No, I was just saying that I like both of them.
Oh, yeah.
Either one of them could do us a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. I will say one of the things, because I had the chance to, it's like you go to these things and you realize that, my gosh, there's so much to learn. And when I first had the opportunity to attend one of the workshops of the People's Institute. This was several years ago before they came to Pacific, and I remember somebody asked me if I wanted to go. And I said, oh, why not? And my attitude was like, what if they could they teach me about racism? You know, I could be teaching them something about what racism is.
You know, they've been going for about 26, 27 years.
Oh, exactly. But I'm just saying what my first initial reaction was. What could I? What am I going to get from this workshop? And I have to tell you, I was, oh, my gosh, I was just so, I mean, I was so touched by it. And I remember it saying, because I was there assisting someone do and helping someone to do something, but I was like, wow, man, I wish I was able to have come to both days of this training. And they brought up certain principles that I was like, my gosh, I have to remember to study this. And I remembered one of the things that they talked about is how being white is learned. And that not every group that is now considered white, when they came to this country, were they first necessarily considered white? Or did they think of that construct? And I was like, wow, because I'd never heard that before. Or I never heard it put like that. And I remember they were talking about gatekeeping. And I was surprised at how emotional it was for me, you know. You know, they begin to hit on certain things, and you're sitting there like, ah.
Well, so we do adopt that theme then. Evelyn, both of you,
yes.
Both of you. Okay. So how are we going to do this? We got until Thursday. Is somebody going to take the responsibility of sending them out or send them out by that, or just wait until we present it to them?
Well, what I would like to do, like I said, I think we need to get a little bit more into the discussion of the pricing, which I would like to just go into executive session for a few minutes to talk about that. And then we...
No?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You already know what the cost is?
Well, we have somewhat of an idea. Nothing completely definite, but, you know, just based on some past history.
Well, Evelyn, do you know about the ones in the other people in Texas?
Yes. And for our, they're very reasonable, and I can probably have a ballpark, something really close within the next day or so.
Yeah.
I'm expecting the same in terms of a figure from the People's Institute as well.
Yeah, why don't we do that and email each other? And see what happens. You know.
Okay. And we can share once you get the information, Lisa, you know, you can send it so we can see it in the email.
Okay.
And we can work from there.
Right.
I will do that. Yeah, so we can look at this. Another thing, I was just going to, just my observations of what I am just getting from looking at these two, and of course, Evelyn, you had experience with both of them. I readily admit I have not, but one of them, the Center for the Healing of Racism, seems to take an approach. You know, I hate to almost, you know, you just get a summary of something, but they seem to concentrate a lot on the human spirit. You know, the heart. Am I correct with saying that, or?
I think it's a lot broader than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they dealt with some really rock hard, difficult issues.
Oh, okay.
It was not a comfortable place to be for many people.
Right.
Today is Monday. Maybe.
And you know, the mind is where racism resides. The mind and your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what generates the behavior.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what people say. If you can't change their spirit, their heart, they're still die racist.
Right. I know that. I was touched by when they were talking about the heart. You know, and how you have to deal and heal that heart. And I know that the People's Institute that they seem to talk a lot about, or that they talk a lot about, like, you know, building a movement and the societal structure, you know, like organizing a grassroots social movement, you know, and the society and the societies, definitely the role in the systems of racism, that's where they seem to put, you know, emphasis.
I don't think
on.
It's so different.
Oh, okay.
For me personally,
right.
I don't think that's, I don't, because in order to do that, you first of all have to have a willingness
mm-hmm.
and a recognition that there is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, until people recognize that there is a problem, there's no movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't see that as being diametrically different. So, you know, I'm not lobbying for one or the other. Whichever one, they can both get the job done, and I don't really have a preference one way or the other. I think they're both excellent groups, and for me, it's based on whether we can afford them or not.
Right, and you've, because you were in the New York training as well, correct? Because you've had experience with both of them.
First meeting
right.
one.
Right.
And, you know, to be really honest with you,
mm-hmm.
The workshop in New York was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a hard workshop for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, I think that there are some really hard issues that need to be put on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That need to be addressed. And sometimes, because we're trying to, I guess, take the corporate way or whatever, we don't really talk about race. We talk about diversity.
Right.
And those are two different concepts.
Well, let me just ask you one thing, if I may, because and this is one of the disadvantages to having like a 4 or 5 hour workshop as opposed to when you have 2 days to really get into some real issues, to get into, you know, some the heart of the matter, so to speak, or like you said, some of the hard issues. I'm assuming that with the workshops that you had in Texas, you all were able to do that, right?
To get into difficult issues? We got into very difficult issues and difficult space. But we had, you know, you tell whoever the presenters are what you have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You also tell them what you hope to come away with.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to structure their presentation to get you there.
Right.
Either they can do it within that block of time or they can't. And I think both of these groups are honest enough to say that's not enough time to really be able to do XYZ,
mm-hmm.
but this is what we can do.
Right.
And then we decide from there where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, well, I want to thank you all, especially, well, I want to thank you too. I know you had a long night. And I guess the next step, Evelyn, you said you think you can get a concrete proposal somewhat in terms of price. And I'm going to work on getting one from the People's Institute, and then I think we can just put forward, I mean, a summary of both of them.
We try to issue a deadline Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Now, Evelyn, can I know you've worked with both of them, but you definitely have worked with the Center for the Healing of Racism. Would you want to put forward the summary for the Center for the Healing of Racism?
Yeah, she said
it doesn't matter. I can do that. I'm going to get the information and I'll present it.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, great. And I mean, and we can, you know, I'll be sharing notes and everything, and I'll, you know, what I know about the People's Institute presented, and we just presented before the board. But I just want to also say that I feel comfortable with both of these as well. So. And I just wanted us to at least feel confident with at least being able to feel good about what we're presenting, whether it's one or two or whatever.
Wonderful.
That's fine.
Okay. So I will say good night to you, two good people, and thank you again for the call.
Okay.
No problem.
All right.
Good evening.